Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. One voice, delivering truth and pain. Presented by Guns.com. Trusted by millions of gun owners nationwide. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three from the Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Had a call with them today. I'll tell you about it later. Anyway, joining me now from somewhere in beautiful Yuma, Arizona, I think, is...
You are correct.
Yeah, I'm joined again by Dean Weingarten. How you doing, sir? Did you get your package?
I did, but it was 5 hours of waiting in over 100 degrees heat, so...
My goodness.
Yeah, it was okay.
Why did you have to wait like that? Outside? You had to wait outside?
It's just the way the regulations conspired against me in returning of a repaired pistol. There are numerous restrictions on how it can be done. I'll probably write an article about it.
Okay.
But you can't go pick it up at like the center,
right?
And then you have to present an ID in person. Normally, I could have somebody who would pick it up for me, but in this case, a person who normally does that didn't want to sign for a pistol. So,
right. Here's the thing about this. I had to send a gun back to a sponsor of mine. And, you know, I could have shipped it myself. I didn't have to do it via a FFL.
Dealer? Right.
But first of all, because I answered honestly, they wouldn't ship it at FedEx. And then the other part is, you know, for me, I would just as soon ship it through an FFL because, one, it's cheaper. Two, when I get it, I don't have to be there present for them to get it. It just seems
right.
Like they're stacking the deck against us when it comes to what we should be able to do.
Right, and I actually have thought that it probably would have been more sense for me to go to a local FFL I use fairly often and just say, you handle it. But I didn't do it that way. And the charges for shipping a pistol, and this is one of the most lightweight pistols there is on the market, through FedEx to the manufacturer for repair, $57.
You did pretty good.
On the low end, I hear.
Yeah, when I shipped mine, and I did end up doing it through an FFL, but because they didn't want to, I didn't want them to have to book it in, right? That
right.
Changed my fee from $15 to... $197.
Ooh, wow. And I thought I was getting ripped off, but, you know, and all of this is just the prejudice that the federal government has against shipping pistols through the mail. Now, dealers can ship pistols through the mail, but individual citizens have not been able to for about 70 or 90 years. And I forget. It was sometime in the 30s, I think, they made that pronouncement. I'd have to look it up, but I recall very clearly it was the federal. And I think it might even be found unconstitutional under Bruin because there was no historical background toward it. They just decided all of a sudden, bam, we're not going to allow people to ship pistols through the mail. I mean, there's all kinds of historical precedent where, you know, some of the famous gun writers would write to Colt and say, I want this made to my specification, send it out here, and they'd make it up and send it.
So
it's fairly relatively decent. But that's I might write an article about it. So it's kind of interesting. And I understand there's a organization. I don't have it right in front of me, but there is an organization that claims that they can do it cheaper. But so far, they haven't answered my calls.
Makes me want to go out and buy a fleet of vans and just do the deliveries myself.
You would think there'd be some way you could do it.
Yes, you would. But, you know, having said that when you told me that, I was just thinking that was ridiculous. I was just, why has Dean got to sit out there in the heat? And what's he got coming?
Well,
I mean, I had an optic coming today, and I was just sitting there going, well, I wish my optic would come. But then they came to the door and rang the doorbell, and I had my optic, but I didn't have to.
There's a confluence of stuff. This is a business address I've had for a long time, and my friend who has the address and let me operate a business there is not there now. You know, summertime, he's gone. And so, you know, there's just several things together to make it inconvenient for me.
Well, anyway, so I don't even have my normal Dean Weingarten screen popped up, although I do know that you have been quite prolific of late, and I was just wondering what you'd like to talk about to lead off with.
I would like
we have about 4 minutes. We have 3 minutes.
Well, we can get started, and that is that I have an article. I think it's one of my better-done articles, and MLN thought well enough of it that they posted it again after about 4 or 5 years. And it's a really good one about how we got the National Firearms Act of 1934 and then how we got the Federal Firearms Act of 1938. Now, the graphic I have on that article says National Firearms Act of 1938, but I've since found out that when they put that document together, they made a mistake. It's Federal Firearms Act of 38. And part of the reason that Federal Firearms Act got passed in 38 is
right.
Because the National Firearms Act of 34 had not done its intended purpose, was to register all handguns and subject them to significant taxation and licensing and all that. In 1934, the NRA, and I have to give them credit, they stripped handguns and pistols out of that law, but they didn't object to having machine guns, silencers, and short-barreled shotguns remain in the law. And actually, it turned out that the silencers and short-barreled rifles were just kind of included in the law by mistake. One of the original law that it just got changed at the last minute, I don't know if people even realized it, was that the silencer ban was, well, the $200 tax back then was about $3,800 today for a $5 item. Back then, they originally had that would only apply to silencers which were on one of the prohibited weapons, like a machine gun or a short-barreled rifle or shotgun. But then they changed it at the last minute. And they never gave a good reason as to why silencers should be included with machine guns. And originally, they didn't have any short-barreled rifles in the bill, only short-barreled shotguns. Short-barreled rifles were not used much in crime. It's just more trouble to saw off a rifle. And, you know, the single-barrel and double-barrel rifles are too expensive to just chop them off and have a fairly handy, essentially large-bore pistol. So what they, but at the insistence of a Minnesota congressman, congressman.
Hang on for me, if you will.
Yeah.
I'll let the clock sneak up. Hang on 1 second. We'll be right back. Talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Mike's Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holster for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need. We didn't invent concealment. We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American-made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need. We didn't invent concealment. We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Talking to Dean Weingarten, and I had to interrupt you while you were out there. So if you'd like to pick that up.
Yes, what happened was that the 1934 National Firearms Act was challenged in court. It would have been challenged, I would say, and eventually it was. And I believe the FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration, it was the Attorney General of the Franklin Delano Roosevelt administration, Homer Simpson, who was the anti-gun radical in the administration that was pushing for registered handguns, particularly in the United States. And because the handguns and pistols had been stripped out of the 34 law, they looked to come up with another law that would maybe be a little more incremental. And they were passing this law in the middle of the year about, and there was, at the same time, they followed another attack, which was to bring a test case for the 1934 law to the Supreme Court. And this was done, the Roosevelt partisans were looking for a good case they could bring, where they would control what went into the case, because they knew it was a hard slog to try to claim that the federal government had a right to regulate individual ownership of small arms. So what happened was that two small-time criminals were arrested by Oklahoma and Arkansas state police, and they had in their possession a short-barreled shotgun. They traveled from Oklahoma to Arkansas. Well, that meant they met the requirements of the 34 law, which required a nexus in moving stuff across state lines. So these crooks had gone, and they said that they were preparing for an armed robbery. Well, they just wanted to plead guilty and stop the whole thing. But the prosecutor was privy to the Roosevelt administration, and he saw the potential for a great test case that they could manipulate. So he contacted the Attorney General, which was Homer Simpson, and said, hey, this is the case we want. We don't want you guys to miss it. And then when he had informed him of what was going on, he handed the case over to a judge, Hartsfield-Ragon. Hartsfield-Ragon was a partisan Roosevelt appointee. He was sort of the Chuck Schumer of his day. He'd been in Congress, and then Roosevelt had appointed him to a judgeship. And he was a strong proponent of restrictive federal gun law. So he refused to allow these two crooks, one of which was Jack Miller, to plead guilty. They're not going to let you plead guilty. And then he had the case he wanted. He had the defendants he wanted, and he picked the defense counsel. And no money back in 38 was provided by anybody for the defense. So the defense mounted was minimal. In fact, then the Roosevelt administration, what happened was is that Judge Ragon just ruled flat out the law is unconstitutional. But he didn't provide any reasonable arguments about why it was unconstitutional. He just said it's unconstitutional. And then it was his defense paper was the only defense presented when the FDR administration appealed the case directly to the Supreme Court. Now, that could happen in those days. It wouldn't happen now. So what we have is a pro-Roosevelt prosecutor gives a head up to the Attorney General about this case that they think looks like one they can manipulate for a test case on the 1934 NFA. And then he appoints a judge who's a rabid anti-gun judge, and then the judge refuses to let the defendant plead guilty and then write a real sketchy defense with almost no defense at all And when this case got to the Supreme Court, only the government side was heard. Nobody represented the defendant. And given that situation, the Supreme Court ruled that this case, the NFA, did not necessarily violate the gun Second Amendment, because no one had presented to them any evidence that short-barreled shotguns had anything to do with the militia. Now, you and I would say, well, then obviously full auto weapons, most pistols, rifles, shotguns that aren't short-barreled, and in fact, in World War I, short-barreled shotguns had been used extensively in the war, but no one presented that evidence to the Supreme Court. So Miller, they wrote, for the Miller case, the U.S. Supreme Court wrote a very muddy decision. And it can be interpreted a couple of different ways. One I just described. Another that is commonly said by anti-gun extremists is that you have to be in a militia, an organized militia unit, to have any rights to arms. Otherwise, you just don't. Well, that's not what it said either.
Right.
And so what happened is that then you have a bunch of judges that were appointed by the Roosevelt administration, progressive judges. And then after FDR died in office, then you had Truman appointing a bunch more progressive judges. So remember that FDR was in office for over three terms, over 12 years, I think it's close to 13, 14 years. And then Truman was in for about 10 years. So you have about 24 years of nothing but progressive judges being appointed to the Supreme Court and to the appeals courts. And so we have this case then that came up in 1942. Now, that's only 6 years later. And in that case, another crook said, well, it's not illegal for me to have, and I think it was a pistol in this case, or it might have been a short-barreled rifle, I'm not 100% sure. And he said, you can't prosecute me on this because the Second Amendment says I have a right to arms.
Hang on for me. Hang on. Hang on. We'll pick this up on the other side. This is fascinating. Talking to Dean Weingarten, this is Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Inflation Reduction Act invests $369 billion to take the most aggressive action ever in confronting the climate crisis.
President Biden's comments shortly after signing a nearly $800 billion spending bill. Biden adding, without proof that the bill will create tens of thousands of manufacturing jobs. Western states that rely on the Colorado River for water will have to do more with less, thanks to the ongoing drought. The federal government declaring a Tier 2 shortage for the river thanks to water levels dropping on Lake Mead. Arizona will face the brunt of water cuts as it'll lose just over 20% of its annual allotment. Nevada and Mexico will also start facing cuts in January. This is USA Radio News. The crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border continues as another record was set. Federal agents have arrested more than 1.8 million illegal immigrants so far this fiscal year. That beats last year's total, and there are still 2 months left of reporting. Rio Grande, Texas Mayor Joe Villarreal is calling on lawmakers to put their political differences aside to fix the immigration system.
The United States of America, the greatest country in the world, lacks the political will to address immigration reform. And instead, what do we have? Democrats and Republicans engaging in asinine political mudslinging. And what we really need is a comprehensive immigration reform.
A Texas school board is going to decide whether to fire a police chief for his response during a mass shooting. The Uvalde, Texas school board will vote on Pete Arredondo's future next week. You're listening to USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Guns.com radio studio. This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality built American made products for 45 plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Speaking with Dean Weingarten, I've had to interrupt him twice because I keep getting lost in a
long story.
Yeah.
So what happened is in 1942, now this is only 3 years after the Miller case was cited, and you have a three-judge panel on the First Circuit, which is hearing a case that says basically, I have a right to bear arms, so you can't charge me under having an illegal weapon. And so they read the Miller case, and they reject it. And they say, another objection to the rule of the Miller case as a full and general statement is that according to it, Congress would be prevented by the Second Amendment from regulating the possession or use by private persons, not present or prospective members of any military unit of distinctly military arms, such as machine guns, trench mortars, anti-tank or anti-aircraft guns, even though under the circumstances surrounding such possession or use, it would be inconceivable that a private person could have any legitimate reason for having such a weapon. It seems to us unlikely that the framers of the amendment intended any such result. So, these three judges on the First Circuit didn't want military arms protected. So they ruled they were not protected. And they went directly against Miller, as that quote shows. And they just said, they're not protected. We don't want them protected. All three of those judges in the First Circuit in cases versus United States, John Mahoney, Calvert Magruder, and Peter Woodbury, were appointed by FDR. And then, basically, the Supreme Court refused to hear another Second Amendment case until 2008 with Heller. So that's about almost 70 years. And what happened is because of all the progressive judges appointed by FDR and Truman, and then later on because of media power to push for progressive judges to be appointed by Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, the courts were just packed with progressive judges. And one of the primary fundamental philosophical points of progressives is the Second Amendment unduly hinders the government. It's not a good idea for the Constitution to put limits on government. Limits on government's a bad thing. So we can fold a spindle and manipulate and mutilate the Constitution any way we want to get the results they want. And even in 1938, the NFA, it specifically only dealt with firearms that crossed state lines. And here, in 1942, we got Wickard v. Filburn. The nation was in the middle of World War II, early World War II. And Wickard is recognized as the inflection point at which virtually everything in the United States was considered to be affecting interstate commerce, and that's thus subject to regulation by the federal government. So in 1938, after they'd passed the NFA and then later the FFA, at the time those were passed, people understood that they didn't affect things if you stayed in your own state, basically. But then, with Richard V. Filburn saying everything is interstate commerce, then everybody had to worry about it even in their home state. So that's how all this conspired together to create what I would call the anti-constitutional interpretations for the National Firearms Act of 1934, and then later the Federal Firearms Act of 1938. The Federal Firearms Act of 1938 required dealers to get a license. That's where the Federal Firearms License came from. The only guns that were required to have serial numbers were machine guns, silencers, and short-barreled rifles and shotguns. Removing manufacturer serial numbers, okay. But manufacturers are not even required to put serial numbers on firearms before them. So, Cummings retired in January of 1939 before the war got started, before America entered the war anyway. There wasn't much stomach for having taking guns from Americans in the middle of the war. And after the war was won, we got millions of rifles, pistols, and even shotguns were purchased from powers all over the globe and sold to the American people at bargain prices. And that was a golden age for firearms collectors, hunters, and shooters. Crime was low. Guns were available over the counter for cash and by mail order. If you wanted to purchase across state lines, you could get a federal firearms license easily obtained for $1. And many federal firearms enthusiasts, obtained FFLs to make it easy to do firearms transactions. I recall, a pastor that I knew in the middle 1960s, and he had one just to make it easy to order stuff by mail order. And despite what they groused about in the cases, anti-tank cannon, anti-aircraft cannon, and their ammunition were advertised on the pages of the American Rifleman, purchased by mail order. And even though that was available, only one crime was recorded where an anti-tank rifle was used. And in that crime, it was strictly property, and no one was injured. They used the rifle to break into a vault. It's similar to Thunderbolt and Lightfoot movie. It's loosely based on that incident. Very loosely based. And then, what we had is the 34 NFA and the 38 NFA were the seeds where we got the infamous 1968 Gun Control Act. I have to say that the NRA mitigated some of the worst part of that bill. President Johnson was pushing hard for it to include registration of all handguns, licensing and taxes and And he didn't get that, but he got most of the rest of 68. And there were some nasty provisions in there where they could take all of your collection of guns if you had a simple misdemeanor for something you didn't even know was illegal. Then finally, in 1986, they passed the Firearms Owners Protection Act, and the anti-gunners in the Congress managed to place a poison pill in there. The Hughes Amendment put a limit on how many machine guns private citizens could own. But the NRA had been working for 7 years to get that 86 Act through. And they knew that it would falter if they tried to change the Hughes Amendment. So they passed it even with the Hughes Amendment in it. And that's how we ended up where we are today.
That was interesting. I've never had it broken down like that for me before. This time, let me do a little selling. Let me do a little selling this time because I've let you talk our way into the break the whole time. This article is at Ammoland.com, and along with well over 2,000 other articles like it, and well worth your time to go check out Mr. Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
My name is Stephen Huer. In 1976, when I was 15 years of age, I was poisoned from 2 mercury dental fillings. The mercury came off these fillings in such high amounts that I went from having excellent health to having chronic constipation and candida overgrowth. I could barely eat any food for 4 years, which resulted in adrenal exhaustion by the age of 20. Despite years of diet experimentation, juice fasting, and intestinal cleansing, it was not until I took certain prescription sulfur amino acids that I healed my eliminatory function and eliminated my candida overgrowth. Later, it was not until I began to consume Green Meadow that I eliminated my mercury burden 100%. Had Green Meadow Whey existed in 1976, I could have healed my gut and body decades earlier. Green Meadow Whey supplies a very high concentration of the sulfur amino acids needed to fuel glutathione production. Glutathione removes mercury and virtually all other toxins from the body. Set your body free from the burden of heavy metals and environmental toxins with Green Meadow Whey. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's bestwheyprotein.net or call 888-988-3325.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines, hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Last time on the firing line. From the Guns.com radio studio, this is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is brought to you by DeSantis.
Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
Check them out at DeSantisHolster.com. Talking to Dean Weingarten. And for this segment, since I did not know that you had seen this, let's talk about Paul Vallone's book.
Yeah. Well, I know Paul, and we met at Sunrise Policy Conference. And he runs the Grassroots North Carolina, which is a dedicated activist group that's been pretty successful in fending off nasty legislation put forward by the anti-gunners, anti-Second Amendment forces. And he's also been pretty successful at passing some pro-Second Amendment legislation. And he wrote a book. It sort of takes off of the Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. That's the Rules for Anti-Radicals. And Alinsky wrote his book as a practical guide of how to battle for power by activists on the left. Primarily people who he claimed did not have much clout. And it's been used a lot by the left, and I think if you look at it, you'll see, yeah, that we see his fingerprints all over. So, Paul has been involved in serious battles on the legislative front for 30 years. And he's studied the issue, and he's smart, and he's careful, and he's dedicated. And so he put all the things that he has learned in that 30 years of activism into this book, Rules for Anti-Radicals. And it's how to battle to protect your rights and preserve the republic for those who want to win and aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. And it's 352 pages. I read it pretty quickly, and I have to say, he does a thorough job. It's not for the faint-hearted. Yeah, it's not sort of somebody to say, well, you know, if this called for me to protest at somebody's house, I don't want to do that. It's not. It's about active and effective political action. And he gives a lot of hints and a lot of straight how-to. That if you're trying to affect legislation, do this. Prepare this way. Then do that. Don't attack everybody at once. Pick a target. like Alinsky says, pick a target, isolate it, identify it, and go after it. And that he goes into a lot of detail of how to do that. He's had a lot of success. I think this book is very valuable for anybody who is either organizing or working within an activist organization. More than just legislation and legislators are talked about here. He's talking about how to use economic measures. He talks about how to use non-economic measures. And he gives examples, concrete examples, about what worked, what didn't. So I noticed at one point I was listening to your show, and I heard Rules for Anti-Radicals was at least one advertisement, so I suspect he's bought at least one. And he does an excellent job with this book.
Well, I have a copy of it. Paul's actually where I'm actually promoting the book right now, and I wanted to know your take on it and everything. I'm glad that a lot of people have seen this article and all this other stuff. But
so you're promoting it on Lock and Load?
I am.
Oh, great!
I am.
Congratulations.
Running his spot for him and doing what I can to help him out with it.
I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I know him because I've had him on the show a few times, but I've never met him. But, I mean, the thing about Paul, though, from what I gather, is that when Paul walks into a room of politicians, everybody feels apprehensive.
Yeah. He mentions things like that in the book. But that's how you get things done. He quotes Machiavelli. Niccolo Machiavelli, the great Italian political philosopher that almost everybody on the left says was the father of modern political science. Machiavelli said, "It is better to be feared than to be loved." He says, if you're loved, people may do things for you, but if it becomes inconvenient or difficult, they'll forget about it. But if you're feared, they will do what you want them to do. He says fear is a much more powerful motivator than love when it comes to politics.
Yes. Fear is where they are malleable.
Yeah. And I think Paul is correct. He talks about politicians, and he does not have a high opinion of most of them, although there's a few. He talks about some exceptions that he is positive about. But I think that's true. I've met quite a few politicians, and I've watched legislators for about 40, 50 years. And I think he has it exactly right. You know, shenanigans, deception, dirty tricks, using the Robert's Rules of Order to befuddle the constituents so that you claim you voted one way, but actually you did everything you could to stop a bill they wanted. Those types of things are much more common than most people would like to believe. They're everyday occurrences on a lot of legislators, legislatures. So Paul understands that, and he talks about how to get things done. Now, something that Paul doesn't talk about much is lobbying, but he does talk about it. And he says you can get things done with lobbying, but it's very, very expensive. And it's hard to be really principled when you're a lobbyist. And so, you know, he's not recommending lobbying. But I have seen some lobbyists, and I know a couple that were extremely effective. And so lobbying is another route you can go, different than what Paul's route is, which is using an activist legislation to push the legislature and legislators into doing what you want them to do.
Well, the problem that I see, and Vallone, I think Paul is one of the most if not the most effective state level gun rights guy out there. I think he is the most effective as far as what kind of impact he has in his state. You know, he's thinking about stepping down, and I'm wondering, as we see all of these gun rights places, who's going to be next coming in?
Gun rights organizations are built by one or two strong personalities, and it's hard to get a replacement. I mean, you can try to build them up, but it's just tough.
Yeah, it is absolutely tough. So, you know, that all of that notwithstanding and everything, this is a, from what I have been able, I have not been able to read it all the way, right? But I have been able to read it enough to know that he did a very good mirror image of what the rules for anti-radicals are and the way they tried to wage it. And it's, you know,
I think he did an excellent job.
Yes, he did.
And it's, well, listen, it's nuts and bolts. Nuts and bolts. It's not high-level philosophy. It's nuts and bolts. Do this, then do that.
Right. We're going to run out of time, so you're going to be here Friday?
I intend to be.
Very good, sir. Thank you for joining me tonight.
You're welcome.
All right. As for me, I'll be back again in 21 hours between now and then. Remember this, it has never been about gun control. Not once. Not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load.
In the 21st century, the handgun has become the preeminent self-defense tool. At C&H Precision, we specialize in taking your weapon to the highest degree of functionality possible. With a complete array of goods and services specializing in red dot sight installation, C&H Precision will help you realize the most effective handgun the first time. If you need slide milling, installation, or accessories, go to chpws.com. C&H Precision. Welcome to the Boom Squad.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.